Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. How are you doing? This has been such a good year for me so far, and I'm so happy that I get to share so much of it with you. Today's program, Atomic Radio Hour, episode 317, is brought to you by the Ghoulman Entertainment Podcast and viewers like you. Thank you. Welcome to the show. I have to thank the Patreon, and especially because we have someone in the live audience tonight. I want to give a quick shout out to Marcus. We'll be talking a little bit about the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. If you like the show, you can support it. But I'd like to say hello and thank you for being here for tonight's live recording. Link in the description below. If you want to find out a little bit more, make sure you like and subscribe and all that good fun YouTube stuff. Guys, I got some news the other day at work that blew my socks off. Which is wild because I was wearing shoes and my socks came off and I still had my shoes on and no damage to the shoes. But the socks were visibly outside of my shoes. The socks were outside of my shoes. They're bringing back backyard baseball. And I never thought I'd be excited. We're going to talk about new games coming out, but they're bringing back backyard baseball. And I never thought I would be excited for backyard baseball. I'm a simple man. I like simple things. As my mom once put it, I just like all the stuff that I've always liked. I never stopped liking things. It just seems like I've added new things onto the list. I've always loved Pokemon. It's in a rough spot right now. And I want to see it do better, but, you know, God doesn't give with two hands. And I've always loved Godzilla. I've told the story a billion times. I was about 6 or 7 the first time I saw that big lizard, and that was 22 years ago. And he still has a huge place in my heart. And something that I have a huge spot in my heart for, a large bout of nostalgia, is for Humongous Games, Humongous Entertainment, Putt-Putt, Spy Fox, Fatty Bear's Birthday Surprise, because you could bowl in that one. And Backyard Sports was part of that. And there's some weird, Atari owned it. Atari doesn't exist anymore. Atari might exist. They're doing something. Somebody, Nolan Bushnell does not exist anymore in the video game space. I don't even know if he's alive. But Atari owned Backyard Sports. And now we got a trailer. I'm going to put it behind me. It's behind me as of right now. I'm going to hate that I have to do extra work, but it's super dope. And watching this trailer, let me step to the side a little bit so you can see it. Watching this trailer behind me currently filled me with such a sense of nostalgia that I didn't know was still inside of me. This game, okay, so here's a little backstory. If it hasn't already been shown, it will be shown. There's an announcer. I forget the little girl's name, but the dude next to the little girl's name is Vinny the Gooch, and he has a New York accent, if I remember correctly. There was also like a greaser Italian kid who was there, and that kind of feels offensive, but whatever. We'll talk about it later. It was the early 2000s. It was a different time. Vinny the Gooch is almost what I made my, like, music name. Like, shameless plug, if you ever listen to any of my musical projects that I have out on my Bandcamp, I go by the name Lunchbox, right? That's like my production name, my beatmaker, my beatsmith name. I almost made, like, everything Vinny the Gooch because of this game. Because of Backyard Baseball. I believe I had Backyard Basketball, and I wasn't that big on it, but also the version of Backyard Baseball I had was the one with the pros in it. This being back, Pablo Francisco, the kid in the wheelchair, was my guy. I believe the one dude who was really into music and always had the headphones on, I think his name was Muhammad. I can't remember. I am so looking for, I can't believe, this is my most anticipated game. That's nuts. Backyard Sports. And apparently they want to branch out and they want to do sport like TV, which makes absolute sense. This trailer looks like it did in the early 2000s. I felt like a little boy waiting for his dad to come home from Manhattan so he can bring me the newest video game that he got at some store. I don't even know what store it is. But he would hand me these Humongous Entertainment games. And Humongous was supposed to be games that used your brain. And also my dad just wanted me to like baseball, because baseball is a game for little boys and their dads. Baseball is the most romantic sport. Like, pause real quick. I can't go to a baseball game and not cry and take me out to the ball game. Hi, UK. That's the most American thing you can probably hear today. And if I don't make a joke about it, I'll be too vulnerable for too long and then I'll disintegrate. So that's like saying you didn't cry when the queen died, I guess. I don't know what your equivalent is. I hope someone in like Zambia hears this and is just like, what is happening? Anyway, Backyard Sports is coming out and I'm super excited for it. And a bunch of other more shit is coming out as well. Let me grab my little notes, my little dopamine screen that has my notes on it. By way of Kyle Papa, who I actually got to see recently. For all of you who were wondering, he's doing fantastic, looks tremendous, as he usually does. He sends me some things. He sent me today that Peter Molyneux is working on a game called Masters of Albion. It's a small, self-funded thing of about 20 people, and it seems to be like a God mode game. So you kind of have, from the pictures, you kind of have control. I don't think it to be a full-on RPG, but it's interesting. Fable's one of those games that I really want to go back and replay. I never played Fable 1, but I played a lot of Fable 2. The last time I played Fable 2, I remember going, I don't know if I like this or not, so I'm really curious to go back and play it and see if I actually like it. Also from Kyle, Borderlands 4 is coming next year. Sonic the Hedgehog is one of the best video game adaptations of a movie ever made. It's the reason why Kyle and I started another podcast called Kyle and Vince Likes Things, which was originally Kyle and Vince Go to the Movies. And it's because of Sonic the Hedgehog. And Sonic 2 is really good. And Sonic 3. Sonic 3 exists. And it's coming out. And Borderlands the movie just came out. And it's awful. And I really want to see it because of how bad it is. I think we are finally hitting a point where everyone is going to agree that, and I've never said this, and I'm going to take a stance right here on episode 317 of Atomic Radio, or the Post-Nuclear Podcast. I'm going to say it right here, right now. Jack Black is overrated. Is everybody okay? Is the funny, autistic-coded white man not being my favorite actor, okay. Even Marcus in chat, oh, that's fair. Thank God. Someone else agrees with me. He's overrated. He broke up Tenacious D because of Cage, which, you know, that really, really upset me. You know, Tenacious D I have a lot of fond memories of. I like Jack Black. I don't think he's as great as ever. Jack Black's actually a really good actor. There's no reason why the dude who played Bernie should be Claptrap. His version of Claptrap is not good. That whole movie is not good from everything I've heard. I really want to see it. It cost about $150 million to make, and it made about $10 million, not even on its opening weekend. I just think we're going to finally hit that point where Jack Black is just going to be in everything, and we're all going to be like, oh my God, him again? I wouldn't be surprised if Jack Black hits a point where it's like Nick Cage. In like 10 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if we look at Jack Black like Nick Cage. I'm getting away from the point, though. Ah! The main thing that I want to bring up, because this is a Fallout-centric podcast, so I have to talk about Bethany Esda. I had to talk about Bethesda, who is now Union, by the way, which I'll never not be excited about. That means our games are going to be ethically made and better. Indiana Jones. I've said it here before. I'll say it again. I am not in my mid to late 60s, so I don't really care about Indiana Jones. The game looks interesting, but we have a date that it is coming out this year. It looks interesting. If it's on Game Pass, maybe I'll get Game Pass for a month just to try it and see how I feel about it. But Game Pass, honestly, is going to become the way we rent video games, because you can't really rent games anymore. The Blockbuster doesn't exist, and there's no local mom and pops that are doing it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Game Pass is like, 10 bucks for a month, and I get to try that game and a bunch of others, or 15 for the month. But I don't know. It's coming out and it looks interesting. It's also coming to PS5, which I'm really interested to see, because that means that somehow Microsoft has gotten their hands on a dev kit for PS5 so they can start developing for it. Because if I remember what Kyle told me, is that Microsoft never made Minecraft for the PlayStation 5 because they needed a PS5 dev kit. So if this game is coming to PS5, I can only assume that they got their hands on a dev kit. So good, I guess. I bet there's baby boomers that play on PlayStation 5 and not Xbox who are gonna wanna experience the game. I mean, Marcus says right here, I like a Nazi punching hero. So do I. I don't understand. Like, Indiana Jones to me always just seemed like, he always just seemed like Han Solo, but not in space. And arguably, I think Han Solo is the most boring part of the Resistance. Like, Leia, really interesting. Force adept. What's the word I'm looking for? Force sensitive. You know, Luke is the fucking Jedi. Like, Lando Calrissian is way cooler. And I know he sells him out, whatever. Spoilers for a fucking 40-year-old movie. But, like, Chewie, like, Chewbacca is cooler than Han Solo and doesn't even talk. So, like, here's just Han Solo with a whip and a hat. Like, I don't know. I was watching the trailer for it going, it belongs in a museum. Like, it's just, I don't know. Hot take, Nathan Drake is more interesting than Indy.
Hey.
So before we get into this week's lore, I gotta thank the Patreon real quick. Because of the Patreon, the show continues to grow and get better. On screen at this time should be some names, and these are some people that I have to thank. If you like the show, consider giving a dollar or two, or maybe a few more, to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. The Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon is everything that I work on creatively, and that's all funneled through me. And, because of the Patreon, the show continues to get bigger and better. And because of these names that are on screen, I can do the show. And I have to thank some people. Some of them are here tonight, one of them being Marcus. We're going to get to that in a minute. From the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you to Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you to Marcus, who again is here tonight. Thank you, sir. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. After Mellow Milhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. Like I said, this show is a labor of love. The Patreon is not it's recommended. It's not mandatory. I do this because I love it. The Patreon being there helps out a little bit extra when something happens, like my computer gives up the ghost. So because of these names, because of viewers like you, I love you and I appreciate you. The show continues to continue. This week's lore, since I'm still getting used to doing everything on the laptop and not the PC, there's something that I wanted to try, and I wanted to see if my laptop can run Fallout 1. I know my laptop can run Fallout 1. Fallout 1 is a 25-year-old game. I just wanted to see if I can get footage from it. So I went to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, and I said, hey, what from Fallout 1 would you rather hear about? Would you rather hear about a man who is selling iguana bits and nothing else? I don't know who told you that something else is being sold, but they're a liar. Or would you rather hear about this man who is a doctor of a small up-and-coming town out in the middle of the wastes who is a doctor and nothing else? I don't know who told you he was doing something else, but he's not. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout franchise, be it the games, be it the show, be it the one comic book that we have, anything, check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon page, because once a week I ask a lore poll question, and you, yes you, get to have your voice heard when it comes time to choose this week's lore. And this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, link in the description below, is on Doc Morbid from Fallout, the post-nuclear role-playing game. Doc Morbid is the sole doctor, the old sawbones of Junktown. He's a man who has everything he needs. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Wikipedia, if you will, but he's a man who has everything that he needs in front of him, and even on the wiki it says that he has all these tools. He has rad scanners and antitoxins, and he can't even heal your rads, but he can tell you if you got them. He's the sole doctor in Junktown in the year of 2161, and like I said, he's a man who, being a doctor, especially in a post-apocalypse or a post-post-apocalypse, which I'm not quite sure where Fallout really falls, but being someone who understands the world of medicine is a tremendously big thing. It's a tremendous task that you have to undertake. You can save people's lives. You're smarter than the average bear. And Doc Morbid is also an entrepreneuring man, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but he's a fella who wants to help people, more or less. Understanding that the world needs more doctors Doc Morbid has a fella in Shady Sands by the name of Raslo, and Raslo is actually good friends with Aradesh, the man who starts Shady Sands and would later go on to be the first president of the NCR. I think it's really funny that every time I bring up Shady Sands and the NCR, I feel like I'm always like, Aradesh, the first president of the NCR and founder of Shady Sands, the capital of the NCR, and his daughter Tandy, who would go on to be the most beloved president of all NCR. Like, I feel like I am just a tour guide. My first job was actually as a tour guide, but I just feel like I'm repeating that, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I just think it's fun that it's like a constant that I always come back to. Doc Morbid has two bodyguards that watch his shop. The Junktown Hospital. It's in an old garage, and even though it's made of all this junk and has all this nice equipment, he has two fellas that help him, his bodyguards who go by the name of Flash and Cougar. Now, let's say you stumble on into Junktown, right? Oh, Doc, the Raiders, the Cons, the Jackals, the Vipers, the Rad Scorpions. They attacked and I need help. And Doc Morbid helps you, and you decide not to pay. You owe Doc Morbid money. He sends Flash, what was his name, Flash and Cougar? Cougars are not something I usually run from. He sends Flash and Cougar after you, and they'll take you into his basement, where they send you for processing. Right? You know, guy's gotta make a dollar. I don't agree with it. The Hippocratic Oath doesn't really exist in the Fallout universe, but dude's gotta make a dollar, right? This is the same basement where Doc Morbid and his dwarf, which I don't understand why dwarf had to be specified. Dwarves are a thing in early Fallout. I know Fallout 1 and 2 has dwarves. I don't know if that just means little people or they're just like something with radiation. Hey, maybe that's a lore segment soon, is just dwarves. So anyway, his dwarf companion, who I kind of just picture as an Igor, is very much like a, like, master, what are we doing to the bodies? Gretch is his dwarf assistant, who him and Doc Morbid cut body parts up. And they sell them to be eaten to Iguana Bob in the hub. So Doc Morbid is a man who anybody could just show up, be like, hey, I need help and I don't have a lot of money. And Doc Morbid goes, okay, I'll fix you up. And then he kills you and sends your body over, your body parts over to Iguana Bob to be sold. And he sends them as prime choice selects. If the Vault Dweller tries to get a job with a caravan company in the hub and chooses to go to Junktown, the caravan driver has a very interesting bit of dialogue, which he can share to you. He'll say, Junktown ain't a bad place. Here's some odd doctors out that way, deals in the dead. Or so they say. Just some fun facts again. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. The game does not have an in-game description of what he looks like, and it's just the concept art from Leonard Boyarsky that we have. So behind me is the concept art, and it's great. It's really good. I like his little soul patch Hitler stash thing that he's got going on. He only shows up in Fallout. That's really all we have on Doc Morbid. I like that he's... I like cannibalism. That's on the internet forever now. I like it when it's... I like it when it's in an apocalyptic situation. I like it when it's in survival settings. I like when the apocalyptic survival settings get out of control and it becomes greed. I'm a big fan of greed. I'm a big fan of, not like, you know, I'm a big fan of greed in fiction and then showing how greed is bad and then how we can deal with greed being bad. And cutting up people to sell them is bad. And I don't like greed. And I hope you like Doc Morbid, because that's this week's lore. Hey, everybody. How are you? So last week, I didn't have an episode for you, and I apologize. I'm still trying to get everything off my computer, and I think at this point, what I have to do is get a SATA cable that's SATA to USB so I can use my old hard drive that's corrupted as just a USB drive, and it's kind of fucking with everything else. So I have to figure that out. I wanted to put up the episode that was the 6-year anniversary of the show. So that is coming out at some point in time. I don't know when. Don't be surprised if it comes out in November. I have a lot of moving and shaking to do in November, and it would help me tremendously if I could make that episode for that. And I would have a couple other things planned out that I can do. But I just got back from being home. I went to the East Coast for the weekend. It was nice. I didn't do anything. I just hung out. Like, I just wanted to see my family. It was a birthday that I went home for. It was nice. I ate a lot and I slept a lot, and that's really all I did. And I got back even more exhausted, but I got to see Kyle very, very briefly. We might have seen each other for 20 to 30 minutes. He gave me some things. I'm looking at them right now that I'm going to be using for an episode sometime soon. Get ready for that in about November. Like I said, I have a lot of shit going on in November. Maybe the end of the year. I usually like to take Christmas and New Year's off, so maybe you'll see something with what Kyle has given me around that time. But, you know, we'll see when we get there. But one of the reasons why I wanted to go home, other than to see my family and to celebrate the birth of a person important to me, is I have a bunch of video games that I need to get rid of. And I can't hang on to them. They're all in my mom's basement and I have to get rid of them. But like, we've talked about this before and I'm going to talk about it again. There is no reason why video games are as expensive as they are right now. Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door at one point in time was like a $140 game, I want to say, at the highest on Price Charter. Since they made the remake remaster for Switch, it's gone down a bit, but it's still $80. I have an Animaniacs game that I'm planning to sell that is on GameCube. Animaniacs. I don't know why it's so expensive. It's got awful box cover. The game is not great. I played it. I remember wanting to beat it, and I got so far into it, and I was like, I can't play this. Like as a kid, I was like, this isn't that good, and I love the Animaniacs. But it's like a $160 game. Pokemon Heart Gold, Soul Silver, $180 a game, $200 a game. If you have the Pokewalker, it's like a $300 game. Games should not be this expensive. Maybe it's rare. I'm assuming you're asking about the Animaniacs, Marcus and chat. If you want to be part of these episodes live, check out the Patreon. I don't know, because apparently Animaniacs, I saw on eBay, Animaniacs on Xbox for like $23. Like, it was sub 40. So it can't, like, I'll be, so... AAA games, it's only AAA games that feel like they exist anymore. It doesn't really feel like AA games exist. It just feels like these huge blockbuster games that are coming out. And I bought The Thing on PS2, which I still haven't played, which upsets me. And I'm going to wind up buying the remake of The Thing and then playing the OG Thing. Like, I just know who I am. And The Thing cost me about $40. About $40 with shipping was The Thing. And that's because it's my favorite, one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie. And I wanted to play the game.
And I still haven't.
And I just never got the chance. And that was a decently priced game. It depends on the console, but like, I have a One Piece game. There was a week where I was into One Piece. There was actually a time where I was into anime. Now I'm not, and I don't really know why. But a One Piece game, $80-$90. Mario Party 7, $50-$60. It's just nuts to me that these games are worth so much money. But Pokemon Emerald, $239 for Emerald. And yes, I get it. Emerald and Heart Gold and Soul Silver are probably like the best Pokemon games ever made, but that's too much money. I don't know. If you have games at your parents' place, especially like GameCube games or even some PS... what I see today, Time Crisis 2 with the gun goes for... $90? Box, gun, complete, $90. Even not complete can fetch you like $50 to $60. It's nuts how, if you would have told me that all I have to do is go to Target and buy Pikmin on sale or Animal Crossing on sale and keep them in the cellophane for 20 years and I could buy myself a Jeep, I would have told you, you're nuts and you're crazy and you're dumb. So if you have any games that you're not trying to play, get rid of them, because you can make yourself a couple bucks and maybe take out your lady for a nice night. I hope you've enjoyed the show. My name has been Vince. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 317. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. The song is called Feather Duster, but you can get all of his sounds for free over at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. I also want to thank once again to the Patreon. If you like the show, consider checking out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, link in the description below. The red bubble's there where you can get a design, support the show, join the Discord, my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, the show's Twitter, links in the description. Make sure you like and subscribe. Thank you for being here today with me. Thank you to Marcus once again for being here live. I love you guys very, very much, and I will be seeing you shortly. I'll be seeing you next week. I love you. Be safe. Tip your waitress. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment production.